continue in prayer.
Oops.
Why? Oh, there's a new thing that says recording in progress. It drives me crazy. Let us pray. Siblings in Christ, no, gracious God, illumine these words by your Spirit, that we might hear what you would have us hear and be who you would have us be for the sake of Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh. Amen.
Amen.
Whoops. Friends, as we age, some of us know, we can see how our physical bodies do indeed suffer the wear and tear of life. Our outer nature is wasting away, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. Believe me, I am learning that daily. Yet Paul declares it is possible for our inner nature to be renewed every day. So I invite you to think about how in your life, what contributes to your renewal? How are you being prepared for an eternal weight of glory, as Paul puts it? As you listen now for God's word from the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians verses chapter 4, 13 through 5, 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believe, and so I spoke, we also believe, and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into his presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So ends the first reading. Nope, it doesn't. Sorry. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness, on the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. This is from last week, actually. I told you that my brain isn't functioning right, and I didn't cut this from the PowerPoint. So we're going to move right along to Neil's reading from the Gospel of Mark. Neil, take it away.
In our reading from Mark's Gospel, to which we return today, Jesus is accused of having an unclean spirit. He warns of blasphemy. Reading from Mark 3, 20 to 35. Let's listen again for God's word. The crowd came together again so that they could not even eat. When the family of Jesus heard it, they went out to restrain him. For people were saying, "He has gone out of his mind." And the scribes who came down from Jerusalem said, "He has Beelzebub, and by the ruler of the demons he casts out demons." And he called them to him, and he spoke to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. And if Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. But his end has come. But no one can enter a strong man's house and plunder his property without first tying up the strong man. And then indeed the house can be plundered. Truly, I tell you, people will be forgiven for their sins and whatever blasphemies they utter. But whoever blasphemes against the Holy Spirit can never have forgiveness, but is guilty of an eternal sin. For they had said, he has an unclean spirit. Then his mother and brothers came, and standing outside, they sent to him and called him. The crowd was sitting around him, and they said to him, your mother and your brothers and sisters are outside asking for you. And he replied, who are my mother and my brothers? And looking at those who sat around him, he said, here are my mother and my brothers. Whoever does the will of God is my brother and sister and mother. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
All right. Thank you, Neil. So now I am going to, well, I'll wait a little for the technology. You know, being ill is a great lesson from God. It makes, especially for us type A's, perfectionists, it's a good thing to realize that we don't rely just on ourselves. So I'm thankful for y'all for bearing with me, but I'm even more thankful to God for taking me through this process, this very interesting process. And so, as part of that, today, I'm not going to share with you a finished sermon. I'm going to sort of share my own wandering towards a finished sermon. Because recently, as I said, I've been pretty tired, both physically and mentally. But besides that, there were so many paths I was drawn to that I couldn't really settle on one. I mean, I was drawn to that house divided image for one, as Abraham Lincoln's metaphor sadly echoes even more loudly in our ears these days, if that's possible. And then there are the people making so many demands on Jesus that he and his friends couldn't even eat. Now, as a former chef, I feel that one. That really gets to me. And then, of course, there's that terribly confusing cry against the blaspheming against the Holy Spirit that can never be forgiven, which I have frankly never understood or believed. But then again, there is a lot of classic Jesus hyperbole in this passage. And then, of course, there's Jesus' family crying, he's out of his mind. And I know that's what my family feared when I was in the hospital and I didn't recognize them. And I actually have a dim memory of two nurses, one on either side of my bed, rolling their eyes at my behavior. In a kind way, of course. And then, of course, there's the rejection by Jesus of his family of origin. Or perhaps we should think of it simply as the expansion of his family. Either way, it's certainly a good metaphor for Gay Pride Month. I'm sure you do. I know so many LGBTQ+ people who have been rejected by their families, rejected even by their church families for at least a time, and found a home with new families. Sometimes new church families who have welcomed them with open arms. So today what I'm going to do is I'm going to share some of my readings, some things I found, some things gathered together by other writers. You may, if you want to shut off your own video so you can feel you're listening more privately. You don't have to. I think everyone's audio is turned off. I appreciate that. And I will show some pictures and play some music, God willing, and sort of wander with you through some thoughts and writings around our passage from Mark's Gospel. Because, you know, it's good with Mark to stop a little and take some time. Mark goes so fast. So I invite you to adjust your devices and get comfortable. Get a glass of water. I invite you to breathe in God's Spirit and to breathe out God's love. And in a moment we'll get started as I invite you to walk around with me. Let's see. Actually want to start a little sooner than that. There we go. Friends, and anyone let me know if you can't hear me. Priest and writer Suzanne Guthrie points out that this season post-Pentecost begins right away with Jesus in conflict with friends, conflict with authorities, conflict with his family, including his mom, and aiming at the scribes, Jesus' own provoking of conflict about the Holy Spirit. And there is here no gently easing into the work of God's kingdom. No nice, pleasant strolls in the fields of Galilee, listening to pretty sayings and interesting parables. Conflict. A house divided. Guthrie says that Mark characterizes sin against the Holy Spirit as looking at the good, looking at Jesus healing someone, for example, and seeing evil. To refuse to see the good implies some deep moral corruption, a purposeful rejection of new life, rejecting the sigh to deeper words that Paul talks about, the Holy Spirit coming to our aid. That person rejects that, wills himself or herself against repentance. Guthrie says it's not that God is not pitiful, which means full of pity, or that repentance at the last moment, accompanied by great rejoicing in heaven, is not possible. But rather, God says that a person disables himself by a willfully hardened heart. He concludes, in this post-Pentecost church, we are called upon to carry the Spirit into the darkest places. May God give us the strength to do that, the patience to endure. We cultivate love. Renee Brown writes, we cultivate love when we allow our most vulnerable and powerful selves to be deeply seen and known. And when we honor the spiritual connection that grows from that offering with trust, respect, kindness, and affection. Love, she says, is not something we give or we get. It is something that we nurture and grow. Summer gardeners know this. Something that can only be cultivated between two people when it exists within each one of them. We can only love others as much as we love ourselves. And just here we go. Only love others as much as we love ourselves. Shame, blame, disrespect, betrayal, and the withholding of affection damage the root from which love grows. Love only survives these injuries if they are acknowledged, healed, and rare. My own dark jail, or doom beyond the saddest death that the long years of God unrolls, make thy sin and selfishness a prison of a soul. What happens? Akori Matoma, Murakami says, what happens when people open their hearts? What happens? Get better. How does that make you feel? That Jesus can't do it without you? Or chooses, at least, not to do it without you, without us? Does it overwhelm you? Does it give you strength? Does it terrify you? Does it make you feel valued and loved? does it make you want to dive right in? Play just a little bit more music as we think about that. So I know you can't hear anything. I've just discovered that. I've been trying madly to get that up and working. So if anyone wants to listen to the sermon later, don't go online because it's going to take, because I've tried to record it twice this morning and couldn't get it done. So consider that time contemplation. Consider it a time of frustration that you turned over to God. And if you do really want to hear that, I will get it posted eventually, but you can also call me up later this afternoon and I'll read it to you. And now, since we did hear the word of God proclaimed because we heard, I saw some chat things, but I couldn't get them up. I didn't see any hands waving. We did hear God.